Well, today we're beginning a new study called Building Your House. Building Your House. And friends, I'm not talking about a physical house with walls and a ceiling and a roof and a bathroom and a kitchen and that sort of a thing. I'm not talking about building a physical house that you can live in. I'm talking today about building our spiritual house, our spiritual life. And friend, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spiritual foundation has been laid. And we minister to people here in downtown Tulsa and around a lot. And one of the questions I often ask people is this, is, are you going to heaven one day? Yep. Yep. And those people say, yes, I'm going to heaven one day. And how do you know? Because I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's true. If that person were to die at that moment, and they died right then in that moment, and they accepted Jesus Christ right before that as Savior, they would go straight to heaven. Would you agree?
Amen.
But you know, God is wanting us to build our spiritual house, our spiritual life, upon the foundation called Jesus Christ. You know, people accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You may have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior at some point in the past, but the reality is you may live another 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years after having accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And God is wanting, as I said, God is wanting us to build our spiritual house, our spiritual life upon the foundation called Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 11. Think about a house builder. Anybody here ever see a house builder, known of a house builder? Somebody who builds houses. This man was one. Okay. Okay. That's good. Say, for instance, hypothetically, this man is into building houses, this contractor. And he buys a really nice piece of land, right? And he lays a concrete foundation. And then for some unknown reason, he invites potential buyers to see this piece of property, wanting to buy this thing that he built. So he brings them over to the land, and they see the foundation, the concrete foundation, and there's no house there. And obviously, the buyer is not going to want to buy it, right? Because there's no structure, no house on top of the foundation. It would be foolish of a home builder to do something like that, right? Because if he's wanting to make a profit, but he only lays a concrete foundation and tries to sell it, guess what? He's not going to make a profit because he's not going to be able to sell it without a structure on top of the foundation. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
All right, so Paul the Apostle here in 1 Corinthians 3 is talking about our spiritual foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. He says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds." Verse 11, "For no one can lay any other foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's turn to Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief," what? Ephesians 2, verse 20. "Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So that's good stuff, isn't it? And so Paul tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians 3, where we just read, verse 11, that the spiritual foundation that it has been laid when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior is what? What is that spiritual foundation? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that's right. The spiritual foundation is Jesus Christ. But friends, it will not help you spiritually in your life if you only have the foundation without building a structure spiritually on top of it. Yes, that's most important, having Jesus Christ as the foundation of our lives. Having said, "Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord," but God is wanting you to go further spiritually. He's wanting you to grow in your spiritual walk with Him. And in order to do that, you've got to do what? You've got to build a spiritual house. You've got to build your spiritual life on top of the foundation called Jesus Christ. Is that making sense today?
Amen.
Today I want to talk about the nail, the fastener, if you would, that helps build, hold together our spiritual houses, our spiritual lives. Again, I want to speak about today the nail, the fastener, if you would, that helps hold together our spiritual house. So once a home builder, let's go back to that illustration, lays a foundation, a concrete foundation, what's the next step? He starts putting up the wood studs, right? And the rafters for the roof. How does he hold the wooden studs and the rafters together? With nails and screws, right? So today we're going to be talking about a spiritual nail, a spiritual fastener, if you would. The fastener I'm talking about today is the written Word of God. If you really want to build your spiritual house, you have got to pick up the Bible and begin using it. You know, some of you may have Bibles that are just accumulating dust on a shelf, in a bag, somewhere on your bed. And it's just sitting there, and it's not doing you any good. But what does Paul write in Colossians 3, verse 16? We're going through his epistles today. Colossians 3, verse 16. Paul writing about the spiritual fastener, this nail, the written Word of God. And this is what he says in Colossians 3, verse 16. He says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." He says, let the Word of Christ. What is the Word of Christ?
Bible.
The Bible, that's right. It's all the Old Testament prophecies about Christ, their fulfillment in the New Testament, the Gospel and the Epistles. So the Word of Christ, as you said, includes the entire Bible. And friends, it's the Word of God, meditate, reading the Word of God, getting into the Word of God, picking it up, doing something with it that is going to help hold together your spiritual house, your spiritual life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. How do you allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you, to take up residence on the inside of you? It's the first basic step. How do you start the Word of Christ to dwell in you, in your heart?
By reading the Word.
And that's it. By using this eye gate that God has given us called the eyes. By picking up the Word of God and actually cracking the book and reading it, right? So he says, let it dwell on the inside of you. So the Word of God, you read it with your eyes, and from your eyes, your mind, it drops down into your heart, into your spirit. You know, some people say, well, I read the Word of God maybe once a week, or so. Oh, I read the Word of God 2 months ago, or I read the Word of God 3 or 4 months ago. Man, I did read God's Word, the Bible, 6 months ago. Isn't that good enough? I read it twice a year during the holidays. Friends, that's not enough. Not once every so often or once every blue moon. We've got to be reading the Word of God, the Word of Christ, on a consistent basis. Day after day, week after week, month after month. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. He uses a key word, richly, abundantly. How do you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly? As I just said.
Reading.
By reading it. And reading it not just once every blue moon, but reading it what?
Daily.
Reading it consistently. How many like eating breakfast in the morning once every so often?
Amen.
Once a week or once a month? No. Not many of us, right?
No.
How many of you like eating breakfast on a daily basis?
Amen.
At 6 or 7 o'clock every single morning?
Yes.
Right? What does breakfast do for you physically?
You nourish my body.
It nourishes your body. It gives you physical strength for the tasks of the day. They say it's the most important meal of your day. Should be the same way with the Word of God. Guess what? The Word of God is our spiritual breakfast, our spiritual food. And just like you like to eat breakfast on a daily basis, you should want to read God's Word and spiritually feed yourself on a daily basis before the day begins. Is that making sense? So to let it dwell richly and abundantly, like Paul writes in Colossians 3, that means you've got to be reading it abundantly, consistently, day after day after day. Is that making sense?
Amen.
Not only reading it, but meditating upon the Word of God. What does it mean to meditate?
Right.
To meditate.
To study the Word.
Means to study the Word. To read the Word of God and maybe take some notes on what you read and to think about the scriptures that you read. And, you know, some of you out there may not be able to read, you know, a lot of chapters every morning. 3, 4, 5 chapters. But you might be able to read 2 or 3 scriptures a day. So if you only got time for 2 or 3 scriptures a day, read those 2 or 3 scriptures. Take notes down on what you read and think about what you've read. That's called meditating upon the Word of Christ. What does a cow do with its cud?
Chews it.
Digests it. And then does what? Brings it back up. Right? Back and forth, chews it, digests it, brings it back up. The cow is basically doing what with the cud? He's meditating on the cud. So, in other words, we've got to chew the cud of God's Word. We've got to meditate upon the Word of Christ by reading it daily and by taking notes on what we read and then thinking about what we read in the written Word of God. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but every so often. Think about it? No. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Straight in the Word of God. Joshua 1, 8. Meditate upon the Word of God day and night. In other words, think about what you've read in the Word of God. And that's how you allow the Word of Christ to richly, abundantly dwell and take up residence on the inside of you. I can't stress this enough to you, friends. It is the fastener. It is one of the nails that helps hold together our spiritual house, our spiritual life. Is that making sense?
Amen.
All right. How does the Word of God, the Word of Christ, help us? How does it help us? Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 11. 119, verse 11. Would somebody like to read it?
Psalm
119. Verse 11. Yes, sir. Okay, go ahead.
Psalm 119, verse 11.
Okay.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
That's good, isn't it? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Or I have treasured.
John 8, Jesus kind of talks about the same thing in John 8, verse 31 and 32. This is what he says. John 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth." You will know the truth. Okay, the Word of God. And the truth will set you free. In context, if you read the whole chapter, Jesus was talking about the truth, the Word of God setting us free from sin. What is the goal of building our spiritual house, our spiritual life? What is the goal of building our spiritual house, our spiritual life? The goal of building your spiritual life, your spiritual house, is to become more Christ-like. And what is Christ? What is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is sinless. The perfect Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God. You know, and we're human beings. We're not sinless. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And every so often, sin would want to pop its head in our lives, right?
Amen.
But if we got the Word of God dwelling richly on the inside of us, it'll help us become more Christ-like, more godly, so that sin doesn't have such a tight hold on our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So for instance, say that you stub your big toe. Anybody here ever stubbed their big toe? I know I've done it before. Or somebody really gets on your nerves with something they said or did. And you just want to blurt out a four-letter word. You want to blurt out that four-letter word, that sinful word, but all at once, the word of Christ stored up richly on the inside of you comes out, and God says to you through his written word, remember Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk proceed out of your mouths. And you remember it. You're like, yeah, I read that just recently. Do not let any unwholesome talk proceed out of my mouth. What is that? What is the word of God doing in that sense, in that case? It's helping you become more Christ-like with your speech, right? Let's say that you want to drink alcohol and get drunk and dizzy to the point where you can't think straight. Or you want to take those drugs, you're really tempted to shoot yourself up with those drugs that you've been off of for a while. You're like, man, I really want to do that drug. Or, man, that alcohol, man, it looks so good right now. Man, a cold beer on a hot summer's day. And God says to you, remember, don't mess around with it, because you've had a weakness in that area. And all at once, 1 Corinthians 3:16 comes up out of your spirit, the word of Christ dwelling richly on the inside of you. Remember, your body is God's temple. Don't abuse it with alcohol. Don't abuse it with the drugs. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I just read that scripture recently. What is that? That's the word of Christ allowing you, causing you to be more Christ-like with what you do concerning your body. It's the word of Christ speaking to you. The word of God that was richly stored up on the inside of you pops out of your spirit and says, don't abuse your body. If you abuse your temple, God's temple, your body, it's like a slap in the face of God. See, so this Bible, this spiritual fastener, this nail, does what? It helps you become more Christ-like, so that sin does not have a grip, a stronghold over your life. Say that you used to hang around with the wrong type of people. People that would bring you down spiritually. You know what I'm saying? People that drank. People that took drugs. People that looked at things with their eyes they shouldn't be looking at. And you're like really tempted to look at something with your eyes you shouldn't be looking at. And, you know, for guys, I know guys are more visually oriented, right? You're tempted to look at something with your eyes you shouldn't be looking at. And all at once, out of your spirit, pops out the word of Christ richly dwelling on the inside of you. That says what? Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Those people that are looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. Out of your spirit pops out what Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. And so what is the word of Christ in that situation doing? It is helping you become more Christ-like in that area. God is telling you, don't hang around that crowd you used to hang around with, because if you keep hanging around them, they're going to take you down spiritually. They're going to make you do things, look at things that you shouldn't be doing or looking at. Because the Word of God says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Making sense?
Amen.
Another way that the Word of God helps you is this. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's see if I have that with me. Okay, right here. You want to read it? Go ahead.
Yes, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Say this room is pitch dark at 12 midnight in this room right here. But I've got this little flashlight with me, this little lamp, right? And it's pitch dark and can't see anything. And if I were to walk around in this room pitch dark, I might bump into something, right? You might bump into some chairs, into the pulpit, into one of the poles. But as soon as you turn this little lamp on, what does it do? It dispels the darkness. It makes the pathway clear so that you don't bump into chairs, so that you don't bump into the pulpit, so that you don't bump into the walls, right? And friends, you may be dealing with some dark areas in your life. areas that are clouded. You might be in some confusion in your life right now. Guess what? The Word of Christ dwelling richly on the inside of you wants to speak to the dark areas of your life. It wants to bring light to the areas that are dark in your life. In other words, God wants to speak to you through His written Word. Is that making sense? But in order, as I said earlier, in order for God to speak to you through His written Word, what have you got to do with the written Word of Christ?
Read it.
You've got to read it, not just once. And meditate on it. That's it. Think about what you read. Not once every so often, once every blue moon, but on a consistent basis. Day after day after day. Is that making sense?
Yes.
And you know, as we go about life, there's people are going to do and say things that will offend you. And it's happened to me recently. And it's going to happen to you, that people are going to say and do things that don't sit right with you, quite right. And you're like, man, you know, I just want to retaliate and get back at this person. And then all at once, the Word of Christ, dwelling deep on the inside of you, pops up and says what? Remember what you just read, Ephesians 4:32. Forgive each other just as God in Christ forgave you. Release that person. Let that person go. Don't get retaliation. Vengeance is mine. I'll take care of the situation, says God. And in that situation, when somebody offends you and the Word of Christ just pops up out of your spirit, it's like the Word of Christ spoke to that dark situation in your life and brought light. Is that making sense?
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. You know, how many of us here have a problem with being patient sometimes? Somebody cuts you off in the middle of the road, or you know, somebody's taking too long and doing something. He's pointing to somebody over there. And sometimes we have to have our patience worked on, right? And it's just stretched like a rubber band. And the Word of Christ, deeply dwelling on the inside of you, says, remember the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Be patient. Take your time. Wait. It'll be okay. I'll iron out the entire situation. So friends, God is wanting to speak to you through His written Word, but it's got to be on the inside of your spirit. Is that making sense?
Amen.
Another way that God's Word will help your life spiritually is by doing what? Is by, okay, building up your faith in God. When you read of the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels, the people He healed, the lives that He touched, and you read and you meditate upon the Gospels and you find out what a good God we serve, what a good Jesus we follow, your faith is built up. Because the Word of God says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Jesus that did miracles 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that can do it for you. And your faith in God is built up. Like, man, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. If God did it for those people in Israel 2,000 years ago, God can do it for me. Is that making sense? Amen. So your faith in God's goodness, God's miracle-working power is built up. And how is it built up? As you read about the good things that God did for people in New Testament times. Is that making sense? Spiritual fastener, the spiritual nail called the Word of God, friends, will help hold together your spiritual house, your spiritual life. But you've got to be in it on a consistent basis. Reading, taking notes, meditating, thinking about what you've read. Amen?
Amen.
Did that make sense today?
Yes.
All right, praise God. Kevin, you got something for us?
Many years ago, when we were on the road, we were coming from New Mexico back to Oklahoma. We had three flat tires. The third flat tire, we were packing in the middle of nowhere. So I and my family decide we need to pray over the situation. It's getting dark. It's almost 100 miles from any direction. Nothingness, just nothingness near Kansas. As we started to pray, we quoted the scripture, Psalms 91. The Lord spoke to me. He says, use your faith. Use your faith. And I started to think about that as we prayed. You know, when you're speaking the Word of God, faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by the Word, hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God only. And when you're speaking the Word out loud, your faith is building, right?
That's good.
Amen. Well, about 10 minutes later, a truck comes pulling up out of nowhere. Happens to be the mayor of a town almost 100 miles away. We tell him our situation. He makes the gas station attendant open on a Mother's Day. buys me a brand new tire, and off the road we go to our last stop of our destiny for that night.
Amen.
But it was activated by hearing the word, speaking the word that was in our heart, Psalms 91, building our what?
Faith.
So when you want to build your faith, speak the word. Your faith will see you through. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Speaking the word of God and building your faith. Amen.
Amen.